Gail's back, everyone. That's right.
Guy on earth.
I know it. And Elaine just left Friday, so Ray's batching it for 2 or 3 weeks. So Ray and Elaine said they've never been apart that long, so he's going to be whining pretty quick, I think. You know, I hate to say it, but us guys, we need you women. I don't know why, but we need you.
Thank you.
What do you mean? Amen.
What's that?
What do you mean you hate to say it?
Well, you know, it's one of those man things. You hate to give in, you know, and act like you're needy or anything. But open your Bibles up to Genesis chapter 1. We'll get started. I'm going to be through in time today, Steve, for prayer request.
Get started.
Genesis chapter 1.
In the beginning.
We're actually going a little further than that. But there's some cool stuff in the Bible. You know what?
Really?
You know, Abraham one time was camped out and had his tent set up. Of course, that's how he lived. And here comes God walking up with a couple of angels. And so Abraham says, hey, stay right here. He says, let me kill a calf and I'll prepare it and we'll have dinner. So, I mean, God just, how would you like for God to just knock on your door someday and come in and have dinner with you? I think it'd be incredible.
Does he know that it's God?
Yeah.
How can you, I mean, can you see it?
Well, he appeared just like a man. I mean, he looked just like a man, apparently, when he came. And you see a couple other places, like when he wrestled with Jacob. You know? And, I mean, to even think that Jacob stood a chance, you know, I mean, you know he didn't, but God wrestled him anyway. But anyway, that's really cool. All right, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. So let's start in prayer first. Who wants to lead us in prayer? David?
Lord, thank you for this day that you've blessed us all with. I pray, Lord, that you'll be with each one of us throughout the course of it. I pray that you bless this time of teaching. Be with each one of us and help us to hear the word. Be with Jay as he shares it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Chapter 1, verse 26. Somebody read that.
Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over flat fish on the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.
You notice he said, let us make man in our image. The only place that ever talks back where God talks of himself as us or we is in Genesis. Today we're going to continue on our series on the secret kingdom. We've only got two more after this one, but we're talking today about the law of unity. And unity is central to the way the world works. That's my introduction here. Perhaps the most powerful illustration is found in God himself. In the Bible's account of creation, then God said, let us make man in our own image according to our likeness. What do you think it means when he says us?
The Trinity.
Yeah. Anything else? I got to look at some different people that had written about this stuff, and somebody said it could also refer to the angelic court of God. I mean, how much did the Lord use the angels in creation of man and of the earth? We don't know. The Bible really doesn't tell us. It says everything that was made by Christ, right? But we don't know how much he utilized the angels and all that. We know the angels came before man. It also, one guy wrote it perhaps could be the multifaceted majesty of God. Talking about all the majesty of God, how it all came together. But one thing we know is that God, the Godhead, was in unity. Before we get started, there's a saying here. I've used this before, but if you haven't got this, you ought to memorize this or write it down. In the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. And what do you think that means?
We can disagree.
We can disagree, but we can still be in agreement.
Yeah.
With the things that really matter. You know, we can differ on, there, so many people, one of the reasons there's so many different denominations is because there's so much disagreement. And a lot of times it's over just little piddly things that don't matter. You know, what are some of the essential things that we need to believe as Christians?
Virgin birth.
The resurrection.
Resurrection.
Inspiration of Scripture.
Right.
Deity of Christ.
What'd you say, Karen?
I said right.
Oh, okay. I don't want to miss any. Yeah, those are good. What are some of the non-essentials that we could differ on, but still?
The tribulation.
Tribulation, that's a really good one.
Baptism.
What's that?
Infant baptism.
Infant baptism.
But you know, David used when he said that thin ice, thick ice on that a couple weeks ago.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a good illustration of the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. Abraham.
The rapture.
The rapture. Yep.
Yeah. Once saved, always saved.
Once saved, always saved. Okay. As long as we're saved, that's all that matters, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. 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 And it's funny because for some religions, it's backslidden. You're backslide. And for other religions, you were never saved anyway.
Right.
So what's the difference?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny listening to different arguments. And I've studied a lot of those. And, you know, one of them, did Jesus go to hell when he died? Well, obviously, he went to hell, but did he suffer in hell? Some people are adamant that he did, and some people are adamant that he didn't.
You know, the Church of Christ believes in Christ, but they don't believe you got to play music in a church.
I mean, right.
How tender is that?
Right. And you know, they get that because you see musical instruments in the Old Testament. They just probably didn't write about them, you know.
It was hard to take them around as you walked everywhere.
That's true.
The church in the Old Testament was more stable.
Right. Yeah, because you had your synagogues and all that. It was a Jewish thing, right?
Yeah.
That's
and
good.
I mean, you know, when Paul was going places, he was getting kicked out of the synagogue. I'm sure he just didn't bring his heart with him.
Right. I know a lot of songwriters that their main instrument is piano. You can't throw a piano on your back, you know, but they'll so they take a guitar when they travel because they can play a guitar. Same type of thing. But anyway, remember this, that in the essentials there's unity. Holy Spirit baptism, speaking in tongues, that's a big one too. You know what? And some churches, some of the Pentecostals say, well, unless you speak in tongues, you're not saved. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible never says that. Mm-hmm. And then some people say, well, if you speak in tongues, it's of the devil. The Bible never says that either. Mm-hmm. And I love Pastor David. When we first started here, you know, I grew up Baptist. I grew up in a Baptist church. Well, then I got into charismatic churches. And when I was 18, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. It completely changed my life. Well, you guys all know I speak in tongues, and I believe that. But when we first came here, Pastor David had just started a study on Acts chapter 2, and I told Barbara, I said, well, we'll see what he believes about tongues, because it's in there no less than three times and really about four times. And so sure enough, he gets to Acts chapter 2 and he starts talking about Pentecost, and he says, let's stop right here. He said, there are some people in this church that have prayer languages, and he said, I don't do it, I don't understand it, but it's scriptural. And you know, I just thought, praise the Lord, that's so awesome, because I feared he'd just be dead set against it, you know. And so at least he's open to it a little bit. He doesn't understand it, and that's fine. You know, if you don't understand Scripture, just be honest with people. People ask you a question you don't know, just tell them you don't know, but you'll help them find the answer. You know, if you know the answer, tell them. But anyway, and also, you know, I think I've shared the story where I grew up in the Baptist church. My older brother was dying with cancer, and I'd never seen a sermon outside of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I remember I started reading the book of Acts, and I couldn't believe all the miracles in there. I was like, you're kidding me. And I was 18 years old. Well, I was reading the book of James, and I saw the scripture, if any of you are sick, call the elders of the church, let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So I called our pastor, and I said, would you get the elders and pray for my brother? And he says, well, we don't believe that. So that was another thing I was worried about when I came here. Do they believe in healing? Well, almost immediately, they announced, like every quarter, they have healing meetings here. So I was really excited about that. But we've got to realize there are things we can believe with each other, things we can be in disagreement about, and we're still brothers and sisters in Christ. The Godhead was in unity, wasn't he? The Holy Spirit, Jesus the Son, the Father, perfect unity. That's a picture of, you know, you can be in agreement with somebody but not really be in unity. Do you understand that? You're like, all right, I'll go along with it, but you're not really in unity. But where there is perfect unity, perfect harmony, there's power. What happened here when Jesus the Son, Father, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit got together, they created man, didn't they? They created the whole earth. There was that unity. So there's great power that comes when you're really in unity. Where there's harmony, God's unfathomable power is unleashed.
Jay, it also shows relationship in the Trinity.
Right. And that's what we need as Christian believers. We need that. That's our picture, a perfect picture of unity, is that we walk together. Satan, he started off in unity to God, didn't he? Remember, I think it's in Isaiah or Ezekiel, Isaiah, I think, where it talks about how he was made with pipes and tabrets. In other words, some way there was music involved in the way he was created, and he was the most perfect cherub or angel that God had ever created. He was perfect. But what happened to him?
He got pride.
He said he wanted to be like God, didn't he? Somebody look over in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5 and read that one. Adam and Eve started off in perfect harmony with God too. Remember the Bible says God would come down in the cool of the evening. We talk about God going to Abraham and Abraham cooking a calf up for him. And They ate. Well, here he would go down every day and have this communion with Adam and Eve. Verse chapter 3, verse 5. Somebody read that.
For God knows that in that day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
Said you will be like God. You know what? Satan's main thrust in this whole world to get everybody off of is to make you think you can be like God. It's all to do with pride. To think that we can do something on our own. You know what? We need each other in this life. So that's something we tell everybody in Celebrate Recovery every Tuesday night. God did not intend for you to walk this life alone. And you know what? If you try to do it by yourself, it's going to be a struggle. But we need to work together. Satan started out as Lucifer. He was in perfect harmony with God. Well, then because of his pride, he wanted to be like God. He fell. And he told the same lie to Adam and Eve about the tree of the fruit of good and evil. You know, there was only one thing they couldn't do in that garden, wasn't it? And it was to eat of that tree. And how many of, just like little kids, we'd be the first ones to go and eat. I mean, it's real easy for us to condemn them. But
when you say no, that makes it that much more. That's
more of a temptation. And look at the lie Satan told them. He said, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And what happened after they ate of the tree, the fruit? That really came true, didn't it? They knew of good and evil after that. Yeah, but they weren't really like God, were they? They really weren't. So Satan's lie was a half-truth. That's what Satan always does. He tries to give you half-truths. Remember when he tempted Christ? Mm-hmm. He used half-truths. He would take scriptures and twist them. But who knows the word better than Jesus? I mean, Jesus is the word. So he knows it better. The age of innocence, there's a thing called the dispensations. It just kind of breaks up how the world's come into being. They call this the age of innocence, where Adam and Eve, they didn't know good or evil. They just, everything was good. Well, after they ate of that age of innocence stopped. Some Bible scholars believe that age of innocence lasted less than 7 days. Can you believe that? If you think about it, we never see them take a day of rest, do we? So it very well could be. I don't know. That's one of those things that's just somebody speculating, you know, that the age of innocence lasted less than 7 days. And it's real easy for us to blame Adam and Eve. But you know what? The Bible says Eve was deceived. What does deceived mean?
Mind tricked.
It means you really believe. You really believe it, but your mind's tricked, right? The thing is, Adam knew. He knew full well what he was doing, and he went and ate that fruit. So really, Adam's the one to blame here, even though they both...
Yay!
Yeah.
Well, you know, the sin does pass down to the man because Jesus is born of a woman without a sin nature. So
right.
It doesn't come to the woman.
Right. Did y'all get that?
No.
Say it again.
Yeah, say it again.
That it's passed down through Adam. Jesus
sin.
Is born of a virgin, and the sin nature didn't pass down through the woman. It passes down to the man.
Mm-hmm. That's why the Holy Spirit had to conceive with Eve, because if it would have been a man, sin would have passed down, and Jesus couldn't have died for us. So, Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. Somebody read that one.
Say it again.
Chapter 3, verse 22 and 23.
Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil. Now, lest he reach out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken.
You know, we really cannot understand the enormity of the fall. When Adam and Eve ate that, you know, there were no thorns before that. The lion laid down with the lamb. There was just, everything was perfect. Pastor David even said one day, he said, we look at the most beautiful thing on earth we can see, and this is a fallen earth. Can you imagine heaven's going to be that much more beautiful? So we really can't understand the enormity. But what would have happened had, you know, God, here the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are talking to each other, and we see this conference going on, and they said, no, what are we going to do? What if they go eat of the tree of what they call it, life?
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do if they do that? Here they're in a fallen state now. What do you think would have happened had they eaten of that tree of life in that fallen state?
I think the world would have just been tremendously evil. Because it is, I mean, even for us, it is the fact that we're going to go to heaven. What if you thought you were going to be here forever?
Yeah, and knowing good and evil, and it wouldn't really matter what you did, you couldn't die.
And if you saw prosper, people who were evil prosper. I just, you know, I think we have to have redemption, but we also have to have an end to this.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, my mother said one time, and she may have talked to somebody else, and said, you know, as you get older, your body starts breaking down. And actually, I heard one time, you know, they say every 8 years, each cell in your body has regenerated. Mm-hmm. Well, you would think you'd just get better and better, you know, or not get worse. But what happens, it's like if you take a picture, a photograph, and you photocopy it, and then you take that copy and you photocopy it, and you take that copy and photocopy, it just starts getting worse and worse and worse. Well, that's the way our bodies are. And I think that's part of the fall. I think, you know, originally our bodies regenerated and everything was perfect. But now when it regenerates, it always misses just a little bit of DNA in there, and which I thought was really interesting when I read it. But my mother said, you know, when we get older, if we didn't get sick and have all these problems, we'd never want to go home.
Yeah.
We'd never want to be with the Lord. And I thought, that's so true. You know, because we think we have it all.
I heard a pastor say one time about this passage that if they had eaten of the tree of life, that it would have meant eternal separation from God. And that was why that was so important, that it had to be prevented.
I bet that's true.
Wouldn't that have messed up God's plan for redemption?
Yep. I think that's what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would have completely messed it up. So God had to kick them out of the garden. He had to take them out of that situation where they could die eventually. God moves in unity. That's what I want you to see here. Everything that God does, it's unity. And that's our perfect picture as how we need to be as Christians. We need to learn to walk in unity. When the unity happens in the invisible world, it governs what happens in the visible world. Remember the Lord's Prayer says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." See, it all starts there. Matter of fact, I don't remember the scripture, but in the Old Testament, I was reading one time about one of the wars that the Israelites had. And it talked about how the angels and the evil spirits were actually having a war, which was affecting what happened down here. So it all starts up there. Matthew 18:18. I'll just read this to you. You might want to write it down if you got it. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Anybody know what that means? Again, we're talking about it happens here first and it happens down here. But what does that mean? Jesus said we can bind things on earth and they're bound bind in heaven, it's bound on earth. We bind in earth, it's bound in heaven. Everybody ever use that in their prayer life?
Yeah.
Binding and loosing? You know, we have spiritual authority. Remember we talked about a couple weeks ago that we don't need healing and we don't need prosperity when we go to heaven, do we? We need that now. And that's why Jesus spent most of his time on earth talking about the kingdom of God that we can reach into and take these things out of. We need them now, not then. We're going to have it all when we're with him. The Bible says it's like now we look through a dark glass and we just barely see these spiritual things, but when we get there, we're going to have it all. We're going to see it all. We're going to understand it. Well, binding and loosing, what I've learned is you can bind evil spirits in your prayer life. You can speak to them and bind them, and in the heavens, they're bound.
Doesn't this go along with the saying, I mean, the part in the Bible where it says, you do not war against things on this earth, but you war against the principalities of darkness. And right. I think that's what we so often, you're mad at somebody and not this thing.
Right.
You know, that there's no sense in getting angry with human beings. And I wish I lived that, by the way. I still get angry.
But we all.
To bind the spirits that are bothering you.
Right. Well, and we forget that. We were talking about, I was trying to find the scripture. I knew it was Ephesians, but I couldn't remember where, and we looked it up when we first came in. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And it's so important for us to realize that when that person has that bad habit or that chemical dependency or, you know, or sin that they're involved in, that's a spiritual thing. You know, if you can reach the spiritual man and get the spiritual man healed, then guess what? Everything else starts lining out.
In California, there is a house of prostitution that was built across the street from a church. And the pastor went to court to get it removed, you know. And he was very upset that this was there. And there was there was a lay leader and a bunch of women, and they went over there every day and prayed for those women who walked in there. And the lady, the madam who ran the place, became saved. And her whole house of prostitution ended up in the church.
Wow. That's awesome.
And when you think about that, mm-hmm. that's who we are as people, though. We just want it removed. We want to go to court. They don't have the right to be there. And somehow that one lay leader saw that these were just lost people.
Yeah. Boy, we need to remember that.
Yeah, they were across the street from the church. And they had no right to be there. I mean, when you think about that,
They're broken people.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, I was in New Mexico one time. I forget the name of the town. Not Espanola. I can't remember. But anyway, I stayed in a motel, and just down the street, there was one of those XXX shops or whatever they are, right above it. And I've seen it on Facebook now. People put a picture, but there's a big billboard, and it's got a picture of Jesus looking down. And it says something kind of witty. I can't remember exactly what it says, but I always thought that was so funny. You got that XXX thing with the billboard of Jesus looking right down on it. But yeah, we don't struggle. It's not a fight against... There's
James
always
and John
a spiritual thing going
on. Rain fire down on it.
What's that?
James and John.
That's right. And you know what? I'm a lot like them sometimes. I'm guilty. I mean, I have that prophetic motive. You know, they're the motivation. Anybody ever heard of a study of the motivational gifts? Mm-mm. Oh, man, we need to do that. Charles Stanley does. If I ever do it, I'll use his stuff. It's really good. But I'm what they call a prophecy motive, where I'm like, well, you know, they shouldn't do that. You know, instead of having that mercy. Some people are so mercy motivated that... And there needs to be a balance. Sometimes you're too mercy motivated, you know, oh, come on, you know, and sometimes you're too prophecy motivated like I am. You're like, hey, knock it off, you know, so there needs to be a balance there. Jesus, there's a prayer he said in Matthew 18. He said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they may ask, it will be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. What do you think Jesus meant by that? He said, where two or three gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Obviously, we know he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now, right? So what does he mean if two or three are gathered together?
Isn't that in the context of discipline, though? I mean, of...
Not necessarily. I think it's in the context of prayer, actually. Okay. Yeah.
Because, you know, I've heard people say, well, if I go and I'm by myself, he's with me. So it's not that he's only with me if I'm with someone else.
Right.
So.
Well, I think it really is. Abraham.
I think what he's saying here is in unity, with common goal and agreement, if we work together, with his approval, there's nothing impossible on this earth and in heaven that we cannot bound.
That's right.
We can bound sickness, we can bound. I mean, anything that you think will hinder our faith, we have the power of only immunity. So this is why he's saying, if we are together with one objective, one mindset,
yep.
Because this is why the disciples, they in the house, or in the time of Pentecost, they were with one mind and God worked.
Right.
So even us in this class, if we are with one mind, we can dominate the whole of Florida.
Yep. That's good.
And people will come, they don't know what's going on. They want to know what's going on
right.
with you guys.
That's right. People will look and say, hey, something's happening there when we're in unity. I think what Jesus is saying, like right now, we're gathered in his name, right? So the Holy Spirit's here, right? And you know, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit are one. And so I think what he's saying is that anytime you gather together, two or three of you, that the Holy Spirit and the whole essence of God is there. Now, we really don't understand the power of prayer that we hold in our tongue. When we talked about binding and loosing, if we really understood that, you know, we could bind those evil spirits over somebody's life and we could begin to see a breakthrough in their life. But it all starts in the spiritual realm and comes down.
Okay.
Yes.
I understand the binding part. The word says will be loosed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture an example where we would pray to, loose the Holy Spirit or loose
healing, loose God's blessings into someone's life. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
You know, loose those good things that God promises. Those.
I mean, we hear frequently in prayer, you know, bind away any evil. Or,
right.
Something along that line, but I don't recall ever hearing, you know,
yep.
free up the spirit or loosen the spirit to
right.
maybe bring salvation.
Well, and like angels, the Bible says angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those that inherit salvation.
Right.
So we can loose those angels to go do their job to minister to people. That'd be one.
Yeah, like what you're saying, when Jesus was in the temple to pray, and there's a lady with, you know, a home bike, and she had been like that for all her life. And then Jesus prayed for her to be clean, and then the Pharisees were complaining. They said, is she not a daughter of Abraham? And she has been bounded by Satan all these years? And healed her, and they didn't like that. So you can be bound by diseases, by deformity or something. So if you pray, the person released from that is being released, loose, because, yeah, so that will happen.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. But somebody tell me what time it is, please.
10:02.
Okay, good. I was going to have somebody tell me it's 10, okay, we're already past it. Okay. Amen. I went over so bad last week. I'm not going to do that this week. Deuteronomy 32:30. Toward the end of Moses' life, Moses was singing this song. And he talked about how that one believer could put 1,000 evil spirits to flight. And he said two people could put 10,000 to flight. Well, I think what the Bible's trying to teach us there is that when we bind and loose, that power we have is exponential. There's like a multiplication factor in unity when we join together. He said one could put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. So it just multiplies the more people join together. In the early church, remember what it says happened? It said, well, let me read this scripture first. It says, Acts 1:14, they agreed they were in this for good. This is talking about all the believers that were there at Pentecost. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. I like this version. They were completely together in prayer. The women included. Also, Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers. I think it's kind of funny that he had to include that the women also were in there. Because, you know, no, I'm not going to say it. Get in trouble. Penny will get me, too. Anyway.
She pays me.
That's good. But there was unity there. What happened? How many people were added to the church in one day? Anybody remember?
120.
Well, and there were 3,000 in one day. And because of their unity, some people might say, well, that's because it was the early church and God had to raise the church. But it wasn't that. It was because they were in unity. God could do that today. Could you imagine if all of a sudden today Pastor David gives an altar call and 3,000 people go up and get saved? And then the next week we got people hanging off the rafters and everything else and no room to hold them, so we end up having to have 10 services a week. What a great problem that would be, wouldn't it?
What I'm hearing in my spirit right now is when you think about how God hates pride, true unity and pride don't belong to you.
Absolutely.
No. And so pride is keeping us from the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you can get a group of people who can put down pride and really become unified, that it's just logical that our power is going to
be. Yep. My next statement was unity brings power. Disunity. No, that's great. I think it's great. Disunity brings weakness. I mean, it just destroys what God's trying to do when we're not in unity, when we're fighting about this little thing or this little thing instead of finding what we do believe in with each other and work. You know, when I pastored my first two churches, we had really strong ministerial alliances. And I tell you, thank God for those old preachers because, man, I was wet behind the ears and I didn't know anything. And one Lutheran minister kind of took me under his wing and really taught me a lot. And then one guy from the First Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, took me and taught me a lot of things, and I appreciate that. But our doctrines were different, but we still believed in Jesus as our Savior, and we could believe on those things. I want you to know, too, that unity also works in things that are not good. Remember the Tower of Babel? Mm-hmm. It says about 100 years after Noah's flood, these people walking around, and they had the same language. It's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 through 9, if you want to read it later. But it says they all spoke the same language, and they were all evil. And they finally said, let's build a tower to the heavens. Well, they didn't mean to heaven where God lives. If you look up that word in Hebrew, it just means the sky or the universe. And really, there's no words that talk about it. If you want to read all this stuff, there's actually a description of where they found, where they think the towers were and all this. It's in this if you want to look it up on the web. But anyway, they really believed what they were doing is they were making a tower to worship evil spirits. And they had like the zodiac on top and all this other stuff. But they weren't trying to actually build a real tower to heaven. But they were in unity. And so God came down and says, let me read the scripture. Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which they had built. And he said, now then, these are all one people and they speak one language. This is just the beginning of what they are going to do. Soon they will be able to do anything they want. Let us go down and mix up their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. The city was called Babylon, because there the Lord mixed up the language of the people, and from there he scattered them all over the earth. You know, it wasn't God's intention for them to stay in one spot either. If you read the Old Testament there, God wanted them to spread out. There was a, has anybody ever heard of the guy named Peleg in the Bible? Genesis chapter 1, this actually, or chapter 10, this happened before Peleg's time. But Peleg, it says, during his life, the earth was separated. And that word earth is eretz in the Hebrew, which means like physical earth, dirt. A lot of people believe that's when there was a thing called Pangaea, and they believe that's when the earth separated. You know how you put all the continents together and they fit like a puzzle? A lot of people believe that's when God separated this earth and all these people were spread to different parts of the earth, and that's why you have different languages in this part and that part. That's just kind of something interesting you might be interested in reading about Peleg. But it's one of those things, if I taught it, it would take several weeks to talk about it. And like I say, I've added in the notes here a complete description of where in 1876, I think they found what they believe is the base for the Tower of Babel over in the Holy Lands. There's a couple guys that study language, Maylett and Cohen. They said there are 6,760 languages that have written. So there's more. There's actually more languages that have, but these are ones that have written words and language. These people were actually building a monument to themselves. Is what they were doing. They were worshiping false gods. They weren't building this thing to God. They were building it to themselves, worshiping mankind. They said, we're going to stay here. We're not going to separate like God wants us to. And so God had to destroy them for that. Let me just read my conclusion and we'll finish up so Steve can get started on prayer request. Unity must begin in ourselves. That's something really important to listen to. We must have internal harmony. James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and that he won't receive anything from God. We must be like Abraham, who, when God told him at 100 years old that he would have a child, he didn't waver in his heart, but he believed. Remember what Sarah did? She laughed. She didn't believe it. She's like, how is somebody way past his time going to be able to give me a child? Well, Abraham believed it. He believed God. The Bible says that every house or every city that's divided against itself cannot stand. So we need to work as believers to stand with one another. This is just as true in ourselves as it is a group of us. We need to get things in our head straight with the Word and be in unity in what we believe and the way we walk with the Lord. We may not completely agree with each other, but we need to find the places we can agree and remember that statement that we may not always agree. I doubt anybody here is going to always agree with everything I say, and none of us are ever going to believe everything. But you know what? We can believe on those central things that are essential. Amen. Steve?